This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We take you to the outer reaches of the galaxy, where sports talk doesn't quite sound like anything on this planet. Into outer space, where voices echo without making any sense.
Have we been doing what?
It's mornings on the mothership.
Hello.
Which means it's the middle of the night somewhere.
I was just wondering how the Lakers doing.
Well, the season's over.
Well, that's what can happen with two root beers and seven Oreo cookies.
You better take your raincoat.
Welcome aboard the mothership.
We're always looking for the weird here on the DA Show. Morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. The DA Show, rocking and rolling through a Wednesday morning. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you could focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the program, we are stunned to A-News in approximately 20 minutes from now. Also later on in the hour, are there signs that the Patriots do not expect Tom Brady to return? That's coming up this hour. Next hour, Gabe Kareem is going to join us. He was an Outland Trophy winner as one of the best offensive linemen in the country. Unanimous All-American, first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears. He'll drop on by in about 90 minutes from now to talk about this weekend's NFL postseason. Yesterday, an emotional day for one of the best players in the NFL. Luke Kuechly steps away from the game, just 28 years old.
There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore, and that's the part that is the most difficult, is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision, so I've thought about it for a long time, and I think now is an opportunity for me to step away with what's going on here.
That's hard to hear. Really hard to hear. But remember Luke Kuechly had one of the most jarring images in NFL history? When Kuechly was uncontrollably crying as he walked off the field or as he was on the sideline after a concussion. And it was so startling to see a guy kind of uncontrollably weeping that it caught everybody's breath. And I remember how scary that was. And it's kind of indicative of today's NFL society or football culture where we are worried about it in the moment, but then we quickly move on, push the body to the side, and we're just going to keep moving. We're just going to keep watching football because we are so desperately in love with football as a country that we oftentimes ignore a lot of the ugly parts of it. It's gotten better. We've paid more attention to it. We've paid more attention to the severe health consequences. But look, there's a lot of people right now that just don't want me to talk about this because they don't want their favorite sport, they don't want their favorite pastime to be tainted in any way. They want to happy-go-lucky watch this Sunday's NFL action. But when Luke Kuechly was openly crying on the sideline and couldn't control himself, remember he was trying to catch his breath, it was terrifying. That was a guy's circuit board that was going kablooey in front of our very eyes. He could not stop his motor skills. So Kuechly walks away, and he doesn't like to use the word concussion, but he's essentially moving on because of concussions. And let me give you a list, because Luke Kuechly's only one of an amazing array of decorated, successful, elite football players that walked away before the age of 30. Luke Kuechly has been either the best linebacker in football for 7 or 8 years, or one of the best. He is a 7-time Pro Bowler. He's only played 8 seasons. 5 of those years, he was a first-team All-Pro. The other times, he was a second-team All-Pro. So he is an All-Pro, first or second team, 7 consecutive years. He was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. This is a guy that has done just about everything in football as a defensive player that you could. Here is who has retired at the age of 30 or younger over the last couple of seasons. Luke Kuechly, 28. Gronk, 29. Andrew Luck, 29. Cam Chancellor, 30. Calvin Johnson, 30. Now, you've got multiple Hall of Famers in there. Multiple. And would-be Hall of Famers had they held on for just a few more seasons. Those are all pros. And over the last 5 years, these guys have walked away before the age of 30. Kuechly, Gronk, Luck, Chancellor, Megatron. You think the NFL might be worried about this? You think the NFL might be worried that yesterday another one of their brightest stars, great player on the field, great guy off the field, said, I can't do this? Hell yeah, they're worried, and they should be worried. They should be worried because what we're seeing is guys realize more and more, this is really bad for my body. I have made enough money, and I've got to be smarter than what I want to do. My wants are to play football, but I can't. I can't because it's not smart. And I applaud it because I could only imagine how remarkably difficult internally that is for these guys. I mean, it's not like they've just kind of dabbled in football. They have committed their entire lives to it. They have done this since they were 12, 13 years old at oldest. This has been their life every single day, grinding and working and focusing on this part of their life, this part of themselves. And before they're aged 30, they're saying, I can't do it. Now, these guys didn't walk away because they couldn't physically play anymore, as though somebody wouldn't give them a job. They walked away because they realized this is not smart. I mean, Andrew Luck would obviously have a job right now. Gronk would obviously have a job right now. Calvin Johnson would probably still have a job right now. But these guys had to say, I can't do it. I won't do it, because it's going to be really bad later on. And what I hope is that these guys got out in front of the train. I hope that in 40 years we don't have documentaries about these guys losing their functions and losing their walking ability and losing their cognitive skills and having Alzheimer's or ALS or dementia or, you know, the withering away of their spine or body or bones. I mean, I hope that they all got out in front of it. But, I mean, there is no kind of nice, comfortable, fine story about this. There is no not a big deal about this. There is no bow or ribbon on this gift box. Luke Kuechly was the best linebacker in football. He's 28, and everybody in the NFL would give him a job. And he is saying, I can't, because I'm worried about my brain. He's not worried about anything else. He's worried about his brain. It's going to be a new reality where guys that have made their money and have more science and have more knowledge and information and have seen other guys do it, there's going to be more of these guys. This is the new norm. 6, 7, 8, 9 years. I feel like a previous generation would have said, man, I got to just max this thing out. As long as they're paying me, I'm doing this. And now, after you get a $60 million contract, you hit 28 years old and you start going, well, I know what long-term ramifications could be and I don't want them. I don't want anything to do with that, as hard as this is. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So speaking of the Panthers, Dodger Blue Jackson tweets, in DA, question, now that Joe Brady is the Panthers' OC, do you think that they'll keep Cam Newton or trade him and look for a Burrow-like quarterback in the draft? Cam Newton, for all of his highlights in the NFL and his great years and his 15-1 campaign NFL MVP, is not the type of quarterback that is going to run Joe Brady's offense. If Matt Rhule wants a high-octane, high-passing, timing-based system, that's not Cam Newton. Never has been, never is going to be. So I think that the Panthers were already prepped to move on from Cam Newton even before hiring Joe Brady. I don't think he was coming back anyway. I think the question is not whether Cam comes back, because I don't think that's happening one way or the other. I think the question is, do the Panthers think they have a potential quarterback on this roster? Because they won games this year with Kyle Allen, and they also have started Will Greer. So do the Panthers say, hey, let's roll the dice with the guys that we have on the roster right now? Or do they say, no, neither one of these guys is our solution. Let us draft right now our next guy. We've got a top 10 pick this year. I mean, Mraz, to me, there's no way I can see Cam Newton returning to Carolina. Can you?
There is some way I could see Cam Newton returning to Carolina, and that is, A, if they don't go sign anybody else in free agency, because it is kind of an odd quarterback free agent class. Now, granted, they would have to probably make that decision on cutting Cam Newton before then. And B, with the 7th overall pick, what are they doing in the first round of the draft? Are they looking to trade up to get one of the big three quarterbacks? Do they trade back and try
to... They might be able to get one of the top three at number 7. They might not have to trade up if they wanted to get Herbert or Tua.
See, to me, I find that, because we all know the Bengals are going quarterback, number one. The Dolphins are going to find their way into a quarterback. But then we're talking about the Lions at 3 and the Giants at 4. Do the Chargers trade up and try to get their next quarterback? So, I mean, if 3 are off the board for 7, I think that's distinctly possible. I think they might have to trade
up. But you think that Chase Young wouldn't be drafted in the first 3 picks?
Yeah, but he absolutely could be.
I think he will be.
Yeah, if Washington took Chase Young at 2. And Burrow went 1, and then the Lions are sitting at 3 with the Dolphins waiting at 5. I could totally see them needing a bunch of picks, Patricia not wanting to take a quarterback because his job's on the line.
Right, but then we're only talking about pick number 3, and there's still Herbert on the board, and you're only waiting 3 more picks.
Dolphins are at 5.
I'm saying that if you are the Panthers at 7, it is possible either Tua or Herbert falls to you at 7.
Sure, it's possible. My point is, I think 3 are gone in the top 6. I think the Chargers find a way up there. I do. So I think you might have to trade up to do that. So if that's the case, and maybe one of those trades, by the way, happens before free agency. Remember that Jet Colt trade with Sam Darnold happened well in advance. And if they know that, then maybe they're more prone to stick with a Cam Newton. And maybe they feel Joe Brady can solve Cam Newton.
I don't think Cam Newton can run Joe Brady's offense. I mean, Brady comes from the Saints offense, implemented even a higher octane style of that in college. If Matt Rhule wants Joe Brady's offense, that's not Cam Newton style.
Probably not. But if you're waiting at 7 and hoping you get a quarterback at 7, you may be left hat in hand with nobody. So if that's not the case, who are they getting as a stopgap that would be better than Cam Newton? Is it Andy Dalton? Do they want Philip Rivers for a year?
Well, do you think they believe in either Kyle Allen or Will Greer?
How could you right now? I mean, they went away. We all thought Kyle Allen was going to be the next guy. He hit a wall. They went to Will Greer, and Will Greer looked atrocious.
Allen did look good for about a month, though.
He did, But then he just totally fell off, and I think Kyle Allen showed he's pretty much probably going to be a really good backup quarterback, which is shocking because there was at one point we were talking about, is this the next big franchise guy? They went to Will Greer. He didn't look great. And now this is Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, and neither of those guys were in on drafting or signing Kyle Allen drafting Will Greer. So I think the next quarterback's probably not on the roster. And I just, if they're not going to trade up, is Cam Newton a better stopgap option this year than whoever they would get insert here?
I don't see Cam Newton coming back. He's going somewhere else in my mind.
But then where's Cam Newton go?
I think Chicago's an obvious potential destination.
Right. Ryan Pace talking about how much they love Trubisky and he's the guy.
I know, but Indianapolis could be an easy solution there.
New England?
Maybe, but I don't think that there's any way that Cam Newton's coming back to Carolina.
Maybe Carolina just goes and hits the skids this year, and they're one of those teams we would like. We talked about yesterday. That's all on a Trevor Lawrence for next year.
Maybe. Kevin tweets, D.A., your John Gruden impression was terrible. It sounded like William H. Macy coaching Pee-wee football in the movie Fargo.
You are a machine of death.
Mac tweets in, D.A., you guys were talking about whether I would be a rat or anybody would be a rat like Mike Fiers. It comes down to the motive. Hypothetically, someone witnesses a crime. That person has no direct connection to either party involved and reports what they know should not be labeled as a rat. But if you're anyway involved in the crime and snitch, yeah, you're a rat. Our poll question today is, if push came to shove, would you be a rat? And do you consider Mike Fiers the rat? I don't because ultimately he's asked a question about something he's involved in and gives an honest answer and attaches his name to it.
That is a rat.
If you are going to call him a rat, that paints him as a turncoat. It paints him as a villain. It paints him as a spineless wimp.
Depends in whose eyes. It's only a villain to those who are guilty.
Is every informant a rat?
Yes. That is what a rat is.
So you're not painting rat with a bad connotation.
No, I look at a rat as a hero. Well, not a hero because I said he's not a hero. A rat is an honest man.
Okay, the point is, do you look at him as a bad guy because of it? Because the connotation of a rat is untrustworthy, bad guy.
That's because we can't stop watching Goodfellas on AMC that we assume rat is bad.
I'm saying.
I look at him as a, I mean, I look at him as a rat, but I look at a rat
as a good rat. He's a good rat.
The good rats. I think a rat is a good thing. You're cleaning up the streets when you're a rat.
Okay, most people don't see rats as a good thing, which is the question here.
Right, which is my problem with society. Nobody sees rats as a good way because of what motion picture allows, but in reality, we are all rats internally. It is a big societal picture.
Societal.
Societal?
Societal.
Societal picture. It's a grandstanding. We look at rat because, you know, how many times have we seen stupid Joe Pesci talk about rats and we go, that's a bad guy. But in reality, that's not real life. And when we're in real life, if the feet are in the flames and you're walking the hot coals, you're going to be a rat to save your ass. And Mike Fiers, you know, maybe not to save his ass, but he was a rat. He turned into bad guys.
Yeah, he didn't have to save his own ass.
But he was asked about it and he turned him in.
I think this is what is interesting. If Mike Fiers was threatened, hey, you'll be suspended for a year if you don't give up the goods, that'd be one thing. He gives up the goods without even being threatened of punishment.
But it's proactive because if this comes out later on and then he didn't speak up on it. I mean, we're all looking at Justin Verlander today like, hey, buddy, why didn't you say anything?
You need rats. Let's face it. You need rats to create change.
Exactly. And that's what Mike Fiers stood for was change. I am all for rats in 2020.
Yeah, Mike Fiers, 2020. 18 minutes past the hour. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the DA show is stunned to a news, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Perez, dare I ask, only a minute and a half into this show, what is going on back there?
I just broke my finger. It hurts so bad. The door just totally smashed my finger as I went to get the DA sign.
The DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's a Joe Judge tough guy right there. Brand new PGP is out. Permission granted podcast. The show about the show within the show. check out the PGP, brand new one we taped yesterday, as we delve into the new title bestowed upon Pete the Body Bellotti as Director of Audio. It's a full half-hour breakdown of whether or not Mraz is a good leader or a jealous rat.
Rat.
Ding, ding, ding.
Download it by going to permission granted on any podcast platform, or it's on the normal DA Show iTunes feed. Sunday on CBS is the AFC Championship game, featuring a matchup of two contrasting styles as Derrick Henry, I think you pronounced that, he's French, right? And the Titans head to Kansas City to face Mahomes and the seemingly unstoppable Chiefs offense, with the winner heading to Super Bowl 54. It all begins with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today, beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
First time since 2010, the Patriots are not in the AFC title game.
Can you name the teams that played in that title game?
2010 would have been the Jets and the Ravens?
Oh, no. You were so close.
Steelers.
Oh, there you go.
Steelers. They lost the Packers that year.
You get no points.
Sorry. So it's kind of nice. You can put your feet up, watch on Sunday, no stress. Patriots aren't in it. Don't have to worry about another 2 weeks of misery and curmudgeon Bill Belichick and Brady with his dimples and the Patriots and guys gone wild, Edelman taking PEDs or getting all drunk and hopped up and hopping up and down in a car. Don't have to worry about all the workmanlike stories of underachievers, overachievers, lacrosse players that play wide receiver, kickers that play special teams coverage. We don't have to worry about any of that. It's beautiful.
The Not Done Network.
Oh.
I think we're done here.
Yes. A couple of years ago in Minnesota, when they played against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, the Patriots organization sent a quote-unquote TV network that they named the Not Done Network, as though the dynasty wasn't done. And they had a huge banner across the Mall of America that said Not Done Network, NDN. And all of the Patriots fan cockroaches came around, and they were all crawling around the Not Done Network. And it's just nice because now it's done.
It is done. It is the very done network. And you know what the best part of the AFC title game is? Like you were saying, no stress. Two franchises that whoever wins, wins.
Absolutely.
You put your feet up. You know, you make your football food of the week, which will be coming out on Friday. You sit there, maybe you clip your toenails at one point. You're not freaking out.
Either one of the AFC champions would be a deserving franchise and fan base that hadn't been there.
Sure.
The Titans haven't been there in 20 years. The Chiefs haven't been there in 50 years. You can totally root for both of them instead of being the gluttonous pigs that is the Patriots organization.
No trough here. No trough. Let's go.
Even on the NFC side of things, not that there ever is any real gluttony in the NFC. We haven't had that type of dynasty. But look, the Packers, they've won a Super Bowl in the last decade, but it's not like they're there every year. This could be Aaron Rodgers' last chance at a really good run. And then you have the 49ers that have not been in a Super Bowl since Jim Harbaugh. But again, they haven't won a Super Bowl since Steve Young, nearly, 25 years ago?
That being said, we still have Aaron Rodgers being rude and mean to me.
Yeah, okay.
And Jimmy Garoppolo going to a Super Bowl the year the Pats are out is just kind of extra sticking it to him, isn't it?
Okay, so that's what you're pulling for.
Yeah, if I had to pick any of the four teams I was for sure rooting for, I am rooting anti-Rodgers for being a jerk face to me, pro-Garoppolo just to laugh at the Patriots.
Okay, if I'm pulling for anybody, it's the Chiefs, because I've got friends that are huge Chiefs fans, but also that's one of our best football towns that have never celebrated even going to a Super Bowl in 50 years, 5-0. So that, to me, the most deserving of the fan base is here. But I can't get mad at anybody that's going to be in the Super Bowl this weekend, which is just so refreshing. That's what I mean. Like, the Patriots dynasty being over is so great. It's like we all had a new lease on life. Like, there's no stress. There's no worry. There's no, oh, God, death march to another 2 weeks of Patriots nonsense. And then the dumb kid at the parade after they win, talking about all the rings that they have. I mean, it's just, it's so nice. It's liberating.
That'd be a nice sleep on Saturday night, too, going in, you
great,
know?
Great, great.
Oh, man, how relaxing will that be?
And then the 2-week lead up until the Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be great. There's going to be nothing that you can really get that aggravated with.
And not seeing some of the people we would see in restaurants in Miami when we're down there, it's going to be fantastic. You
but
know?
You were bothered by the people we would see media-wise.
Oh, yeah. And look, some nice people, don't get me wrong, but just some honks that, you know what, sit a trip out. You know, now we're going to a nice, warm Miami. Be nice not seeing you. A little extra room at some of the steakhouses. I'm good. I'm good not seeing people.
Pete the Vita Bellotti, is there a team you would be particularly rooting for out of the Final Four?
I'm with you on the Chiefs. I think I'd like to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl.
He's an easy guy to root
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and I think it's their time in my eyes. I mean, it's the perfect setup for them to win a Super Bowl. I mean, they have the most to lose, I think, out of everybody in this whole situation. But I think they can also achieve greatness.
I would agree with you. I think that's a good breakdown. Also, who wouldn't want to see Patrick Mahomes on the greatest stage? Andrew Bogish, is there a team specifically that you are rooting for?
Not rooting for, but the Titans do scare me, like all Cinderella scare me, that at some point the bottom drops out. Not to knock anything that they've done so far, because what they've done seems to be somewhat repeatable, but I'm always afraid when a team goes from the bottom up, that at some point there's a dud, that they don't just lose, that the loss is ugly. And I wouldn't want the Super Bowl, if they were to get through the Chiefs, the Super Bowl would be the one where they kind of get smacked in the face. I want a good game.
So you might be pulling for the Chiefs just simply because you think that they would give us a better Super Bowl.
Correct.
Okay. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, when Mraz gets philosophical, it just reminds me he is taking the SAT in a couple of weeks. Yes, the week after the Super Bowl, Mraz is going to be taking the SAT proctored by Chicken Pesto Lady, which is very exciting. So I have her on the case, getting some practice SATs ready and practice questions. She will proctor it.
Literally, though, like the Super Bowl Sunday, those days that follow that week, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thursday following the Super Bowl
okay.
is when you'll be taking the SAT here in studio because you lost the season-long picks competition against Super Dave.
Just want to make
you
sure.
You like that, big boy.
I banged out the following week, so I want to make sure.
Yes, you're here the Thursday following the Super Bowl.
Correct, that week, yes. I'm here for Super Bowl recap week.
That's XFL kickoff week.
We're discussing that? I don't think we're discussing that.
We're on to St. Louis?
Yes, we're pitchers and catchers at that point.
We're on to the Battle Hawks. Standing by with your headlines is a kind sir. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Here's your report sponsored by Progressive. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Carlos Beltran is the last man standing.
Dead man walking.
Major League Baseball named only 4 when announcing the Astros' punishments for players and coaches illegally stealing signs in 2017 and parts of 18. Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, and Alex Cora have all now been fired. The Mets yet to comment about their brand new skipper. The Red Sox announcing that mutual divorce with Cora last night. MLB hasn't punished him yet because it's still investigating possible cheating in Boston in 2018, but there was no need for the team to wait on that. The Minnesota Twins are adding third baseman Josh Donaldson 4 years, $92 million after 37 homers and 94 RBI last season with the Braves.
This is a great signing for the Twins.
100% agree.
Great, great signing. And they didn't break the bank to do it. They got him for less than $100 million for 4 seasons. You might only get 2 or 3 really good seasons out of him at his age. So maybe the final year is kind of sunk cost. But for the Twins, who never spend a lot of money, that are always one of the best teams of that division, to get that bat right now, I love that move.
Yeah, they certainly can hit. I don't remember if they added anybody of significance from the pitching point because they were an embarrassment against the Yankees in the postseason, starting that dude who was a Uber driver wearing rec specs playoff game at Yankee
that
Stadium.
That is the problem. The Twins can sign anybody, and they would still get swept by the Yankees in October.
So CBS Sports Radio MLB insider Pete Bellotti whispering to me, audio director as well, Homer Bailey and Rich Hill are Minnesota Twins. I don't know if that solves their pitching problem just yet.
Look, that is, as they always say, it's, who are the two guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was Bailey and Hill and Pray for Rain. That's what they always say.
They got Pineda back, who was out of the postseason.
Oh, that's
true. They're going to be a threat.
Okay.
Yankee Twin ALCS is on tap.
Okay.
I think that's
dangerous. You'd love that because they fall apart against you guys.
Because this would be the time the Twins burn us. I'm a little scared of the Twins this year.
Ooh, what if they're cheating, too?
Have a little humble some out of me.
Wow. for an oinker.
Because the pathway gets cleared. Now it's almost too easy for the Yankees. Twins do after years of us pounding on them. I think we could end up in a World Series in Minnesota here.
Wow.
The Donaldson contract scares me because it tells me they're up to no good.
It's a good signing.
It is a good signing. I'm being humble here. I'm a little fearful here as we sit on January 15th that the Twins burn the Yankees.
I really thought the Braves should have re-signed Donaldson. I mean, what do they have to lose?
I don't know.
Too busy with the stadium naming rights.
Right. What's going on right now?
With?
Sean.
Yeah, he's kind of rational, sensible, and somewhat humble.
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening.
Leader.
Is this the beginning of a seizure? Should we call somebody? Are you
he
okay?
He actually just ate, so that helps.
It is true.
He's not angry
anymore?
It is
true. The time to get the most honest question out of me is moments after I eat.
Luke Kuechly is just 28 years old, but he is retiring from the NFL. The only explanation the Panther great gave was he doesn't feel like he can play the game anymore the way it should be played. Kuechly did suffer multiple concussions during his career. He walks away with 7 Pro Bowl appearances, 1 Defensive Player of the Year award, and 1 Defensive Rookie of the Year award. Chargers tight end Antonio Gates also retiring after sitting out this season. Gates is the Chargers franchise leader in the major receiving categories. He is 3rd all-time among tight ends in catches, 1st in touchdowns. Now back in Carolina, new head coach Matt Rhule reportedly adding LSU assistant Joe Brady as offensive coordinator. Only Joe Burrow is more responsible for Joe Burrow's success this season than Brady. As for Rhule, he still needs to be replaced at Baylor. The Bears said to be targeting Virginia Tech's Justin Fuente for that opening. And Browns owner Jimmy Haslam is not happy. We think he wants new head coach Kevin Stefanski's game plans every Friday.
Rumors out there, though, about presenting the game plan and those kind are just totally inaccurate, and I really think they're irresponsible.
Now, here's the catch. It is completely accurate and responsible. The other half of this very report that said they're going to meet on Mondays to go over the previous games, Haslam said yesterday those are going to happen.
Nice.
The Friday thing is complete and utter nonsense.
Could you imagine having to meet with the owner after every game for hours and explaining what happened?
It remains amazing to me that this guy, who was only a minority owner in the Steelers, but didn't even a little bit pick up any sense of how they do business, continuity, patience.
Are you sure Haslam was with the Steelers?
Yes.
Not Dave Tepper?
No.
Tepper was
both,
too.
But Haslam had money in the Steelers. He was obviously not there day-to-day, but he had to get rid of that as well. And he learned nothing from being even remotely connected to them.
Oh. Now, I actually think Stefanski could be a good coach if they would get out of his way. I thought his press conference was solid. I thought he was honest. I thought he was smart. I thought he was sharp. But if you've got to meet with Jimmy Haslam, dopey owner, to discuss what happened on 3rd and 14 on Mondays every week, I mean, just blow my brains out. I mean, just that's the worst.
I mean, what do we know about his football pedigree? I mean, at least Jerry Jones, like, played football. So, I mean, it wasn't good. It was a long time ago.
He's a big donor at Tennessee.
He's just a businessman.
He thinks that he's a football guy.
Right. Who almost got in a lot of trouble, right, over his gas station
the Pilot
price,
J.
Gouging.
Yeah. Major scandal with Pilot J.
I don't think Kim and Kanye made it to Staples last night for Clippers Cavaliers.
Okay.
So it was up to Kawhi to do the Tristan Thompson bashing.
Osman lobs it off the inbounding pass. Picked up by Leonard. Here he comes with 4 seconds left. Leonard all the way to the basket. He gets to the lane. He slams it home with the right hand. Plus the foul. Coast-to-coast domination. Kawhi Leonard, it's his world. We're living in it.
Noah Eagle, Clippers Radio. Kawhi scored 43 in just 28 minutes. He's just the third player in the shot clock era to have 40-plus in less than 29.
So the Cavs played back-to-back nights
at
Staples Center.
Yeah.
Once against the Lakers, once against the Clippers. Reports were yesterday that on the night that the Lakers played the Cavs, Kim Kardashian was in the stands booing Tristan Thompson. The next night, she didn't have time to go to Staples Center to see the Clippers and Cavs. Is she a fraud?
Fraud. If you're going to commit and go all that out, and they're in for a back-to-back. By the way, you don't have to drive to Anaheim. It's the same arena. You have no problem getting there. Get both your butt implants in your car. You know you can have a driver. Get back there and boo all night long. She's a phony.
The most explosive thing you've said yet, maybe, in the 7 years we've been together, is that you think Kim's implant, that butt is artificial?
Oh, I think we all know that.
I've never heard that.
Oh, please. She's got a cup of gelatin cups sitting right back there. Nobody's rumpus is that natural and real. Go look at her in that Ray J video, and now look at her now.
Whoa. Whoa. Look, after how after hours with Amy set up earlier this morning, and now that, this is supposed to be a family-friendly network.
Just wait till Stun to a News.
It just means she's a fraud. She's a fraud. That's it. She's a fraud. She's got fake lipo and everything else that you call that, the plastic surgeon on speed dial. But what's the big deal? You can't flop down the money and go sit courtside and boo him the next night versus the Clippers?
Well, didn't we rip
commit?
We ripped her for booing Tristan Thompson the first night.
I agree with you. However, I was not aware that the Cavs were playing the Clippers the next night there. And I think if you're going to do that, I think I would have given her some credibility if she went back and heckled back-to-back nights.
We called her, you distinctly called her a terrible aunt.
She was a terrible aunt.
That's right.
And but now you want her to do the same thing the next night.
But once she's already terrible, you might as well go all in.
Lean in. This has been your...
Are you hungry again, by the way?
No, I'm telling it like it is. Look, I got the Kardashians in my house every Sunday. My DVR is full. My wife loves it. I'm aware what's going on with that family. I know all about it. She's a phony. That is a phony move by her. I want to know, is Chris Humphreys on the Cavs or on the Clippers? Because maybe that's why she didn't want to go back.
I don't think that he's employed anymore.
She has major egg on her face today.
She doesn't care today.
That's the problem. And that's the problem. Nobody's holding her accountable, but I am here.
Oh, you are, yes.
That's right.
Thank you.
Because your personal philosophy is, if you're going to be a bad guy, keep being a bad guy.
Just commit. Just commit. Don't rob one bank. Rob six.
Okay, Mraz is hungry.
Yeah, college hoops. Number 3, Duke losing at Clemson 79-72, but number 7, San Diego State fought off Fresno State 64-55. Those Aztecs now 18-0. Hockey last night, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl each had 3 points in Edmonton's 4-2 home win over Nashville.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
All right, in the wake of Amy and Kim's butt and Ray J videos, we're going to continue working blue here, DA.
Yikes.
So sit tight. The car company Subaru recently showed off a new car at the Singapore Auto Show. Listen very carefully to the name of the car, in particular the first letter of each word. The car is called the Forester.
Okay.
Ultimate Customized Kit Special. And
wow.
It's presented as an acronym. That acronym, using the first
Whoa.
Letter of all those words,
Whoa.
Begins with an F and ends in CKS.
Whoa.
So on a sign at this car show, it said Subaru FCKS.
No.
And apparently they are blaming this on something getting lost in translation.
I would think.
In Japan, it doesn't mean that.
Correct. So they have apologized and the car will not be called that anymore. But for a moment, it was called Subaru Bleeps.
How does that make it through quality control that far to actually a sign being printed?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, they're blaming the local Singapore manufacturers or printing press for these issues.
Oh, this was in Singapore.
Singapore, yeah, yeah.
But they speak English in Singapore.
Which was the problem,
yeah.
Because everyone knew what it meant right away. I don't know if they thought they were going to pull a fast one on people, but they speak English very well and often in Singapore.
Okay, now, let's ask this question. There are car manufacturers trying to tap into the millennial market. There are people now in their late 20s, early 30s, finally buying their first cars, maybe even early 20s, mid-20s, and they're trying to make it hip and young. Do you think in the States, calling a car an F-bleep-CKS would actually be good marketing for the millennials?
It would be all over Instagram, and I think any 20-something-year-old driver would be lining up to buy the Subaru bleep.
Now...
Would you give your left for a Subaru?
Would you be worried that the Subaru F bleep CKS is a bad car?
That it sucks? Yes.
Yeah.
I'd be worried that it sucks.
Well, I mean, it depends what you think of Subaru in general. I don't think if you're a fan of Subaru cars, I don't think they're going to throw a lemon out there because the name is that.
Could you tell your parents what you got?
Yeah, you tell her I got a Subaru Forester. You don't
Forester
tell,
utility.
Ultimate customized kit special.
But you just tell them that first word, and then you get on Instagram and you're hashtagging what you got.
You know what you got? You got a Forester UX. That's what you got.
Now, technically, guys, we all have zero Forester bleep CKS.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't get that, so I'm going to move
we
on.
We give zero? Yeah, I got you now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Andrew. I mean, earlier this morning, Amy throws out to Bogish one of the most aggressive lines of questioning, perhaps, in sports radio history.
Would you give your left nut for a slice of pizza?
And now we're into the Subaru story.
We you know what? We've taken a turn this morning at this network. We probably should rein it back in just a little, be a slightly more professional.
No, never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
When we come back, are the Patriots preparing for life after Tom Brady? There's at least one sign. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Damon Amendola.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you being with us on a fine Wednesday. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy! Watch the best of the show on YouTube. Go to CBS Sports Radio's YouTube page and binge watch the DA show, the best of clips every single day. So apparently the suite, Tom Brady's family suite, has been completely cleared out of Gillette Stadium. This according to a report on WEEI Radio in Boston, that unlike other off-seasons, Brady's family suite is empty. And apparently in other off-seasons, they've left at least some things in there, of course, preparing for Brady's family to be back in the fall. So is this a sign that the Patriots actually are preparing for life after Brady? Maybe. I don't think we can read too much into it. Because who knows about cleaning crews and potential changing dynamics and protocol inside Gillette Stadium. But Brady has given his symbolism. He has sold his team. He has sold his house. He has not committed to coming back. He has spoken in vague terms about what will happen in the offseason. So my guess is this is a little bit tit for tat, where you have Brady playing the vagary card, and now the Patriots going, well, okay, I guess we'll have to clean out your suite too. As I've said before, I think it's distinctly possible that Tom Brady just retires because he walks to the ledge and realizes life after the Patriots is not necessarily worth it to him at 43 years old. But I do think he's going to hit the open market to see what that value is. I don't think he's going to be signing back with the Patriots before free agency begins in March. Jared's next up in New Mexico, listening to 95.9 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
What's going on?
I think that the actual sign stealing or the collusion on sports gambling sites or calling an ice cream sandwich a sandwich, or, you know, donating to your kid's prospective college so that they get in on crappy scores. It's all the same thing, and it's, we call it cheating, but the appearance of us as a society having it under control and we won't put up with it is more important than actually fixing it. It's going to go on no matter what. So, for example, Richard Sherman gets tested and it's like a wink, wink. Hey, we tested him. So therefore you guys sitting at home should know that we're testing everybody. Maybe, I don't know. How do I know that? So it's just that the aggregate of the consequences of eventually erode the integrity of all these sports games. And therefore you need rats to kind of like look like the fall guy.
So I'm not sure I followed the ice cream sandwich reference, I know that was a show reference. I'm not sure if that was just a joke inserted in there. I am not anti-Mike Fiers. I am pro-Mike Fiers. Thankfully, somebody had the integrity to put his name on what he saw, and that blew the lid off this thing. I don't mind that guy at all. I don't consider him a hero necessarily, but he's certainly not a villain in my mind. We'll talk about Odell Beckham, what he looked like on Monday night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.